I can start recording now. Okay. Good morning, everyone. We're continuing in our series of Halacha in the Era of COVID. And this is a topic for today that I think actually tickled a lot of people's fancy as we were first locking down. Like, this was the kind of thing that I saw people discussing. They were really interested in figuring out what we were going to do when we reopened. And this is the question of how to handle all the partio that we missed in Kriyat HaTorah, in Shul. Right, Shul had been closed, or will have been closed, for however many months. By my count, it's most of Sefer Vayikra, as well as the end of Sefer Shemot, that we missed reading together as a tzibur. And the question people were considering and were interested in was whether or not we'd have to make up those missing weeks, and if so, how. But before we even get into the weeds of the topic itself, I just want to like open the question a little bit, which is, okay, well, why would we think we would need to catch up missing parshiyot, right? For most mitzvot, we don't have such a notion of like catching up things that we miss, right? If anyone missed the Megillah, let's say they were quarantined over Purim, they didn't hear a Megillah, I'd be surprised if someone suggests, oh, you should really hear the Megillah twice next Purim, or next Purim night. I guess you should hear it twice every Purim. You should hear it four times the next Purim. So the idea they're going to catch up a missed Kriyat HaTorah is not sort of a priori obvious. So what might people be thinking when they're asking this question or raising this issue? I'm wondering if maybe I tipped my hand a little bit when I said that for most mitzvot, there is no such notion of catching up. There are, however, you know, the one mitzvah in particular I'm thinking of that where there is a notion of making up missed opportunities. Anyone familiar with that mitzvah?
Well, davening, I mean.
Davening, yeah. Right? It's the mitzvah of tashlumen when you miss a tefillah. If you miss one davening by mistake, you're allowed the opportunity to sort of catch up the next time. So if you miss mincha one day, you'll daven ma'ariv twice. One of those will sort of count retroactively for the mincha that you missed, and the other will fulfill your ma'ariv. So there's such a notion of tashlumin, of making a mitzvot, or making a tefillah in particular. And it's possible that someone would raise this question because it's also, you know, something you might apply to Kriyat HaTorah. It's part of the tefillah, you know, process sort of writ large. And so if you can make up a missed tefillah, maybe you could also make up a missed Kriyat HaTorah. And that's definitely one idea that would make a person raise such a question. We're going to see very shortly another different notion that may also lead a person to believe that they can make up a missed Kriyat HaTorah. I'm not a major historian of halacha, so I'm not going to spend that much time on earlier history of halacha. One day, please God, but not quite yet. But I will note that it's a little bit interesting that this discussion of whether one catches up a missed Kriyat HaTorah doesn't seem to start historically in the time of the Gemara. The earliest attestation that people are citing is sometime in the time of the Rishonim. We'll see as we look at the tshuvot of the contemporary poskim that they keep pointing back to this Orza Rua, for example, who's not the earliest of Rishonim nor the most prolific, but a significant Rishon who raises the issue. And we'll see how he presents it. And he doesn't present it quite in the same way that David suggested, the idea of tashlumen, the idea of making up missed tefillot. He brings another notion to bear. So we'll see how he presents it, and this becomes the basis for all subsequent discussions of this issue. Ma'ase haya bikolonia, I assume this is cologne, but in, you know, Hebrew. Be'echad shekibo b'shabbos haro'i likrot parshat emor ala kohanim. So it was a certain, I'm sorry, I don't think it's Kiva, I think it's Kaval, but there was a Shabbos, it was Shabbos Parshat Emor, the Ikiv Tfila, but, you know, a certain person, like, interrupted davening. The parameters of Ikuv Tfila, when one and how one, you know, is allowed to interrupt communal prayer is a whole other discussion that I have not enough information about to say anything intelligent about. But there was such a notion that, you know, members of the community were at least, you know, if not allowed to, then at least the process of interrupting a tefillah was recognized. And that apparently would happen, or someone would interrupt tefillah and prevent it from happening. So the Ikiv tefillah Kriyat HaTorah kol hayom. And, you know, for the whole day, they just stopped davening from happening in shul for whatever reason. Ukishi Giyah Shabbat Haba'ah, and the next weekend, Siva HaRabbi Eliezer Bar Rabbi Shimon Zatzal, L'etchil parshat emor al kohanim ulikrota. So the next week, the local authority, presumably the local authority, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, rule that they should start with last week's parsha, emor, read the entire parsha, and then v'gam b'har Sinai haru'uya lehikarot be'ota shabbat v'shelo ledaleg parsha achan min haTorah. And then you should read emor, and then b'har, and do two parshiot in a row, instead of just the one that would have been appropriate for this week. And the logic he gives is not the logic of tashlumin, of making up missed opportunities, but a different logic we see in this bolded line. Lefi ki mimot Moshe Rabbeinu, nitzkan likrot haTorah b'parshioteha. From the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, it was established to read the Torah with its parshiot, ulahashlima b'chol shana v'shana, and to complete it each and every year, kedei l'hashmi'a la'am mitzvot v'chukim, in order that the nation should hear the mitzvot and the chukim of the Torah on an annual basis. So there was an establishment to read the entire Torah every single year.
What do they do in places, say there's a hurricane in Florida and everyone is told to evacuate or, hunker down in place, or if we have an 18, a 15-foot snowstorm and nobody comes out to do it, we don't repeat it.
Right. So that's an excellent point. And you're alluding to, I think, one or two of the possible distinctions between different cases that we might make, right? Depending on the reason, for example, that one misses Kriyat HaTorah, we might apply the rule differently. It might be that only if you miss it under certain circumstances do you have to make it up and not otherwise. Or if it applies to certain communities but not to other communities, right? COVID-tru lockdowns were generally, reasonably universal. Which wasn't the case for an individual hurricane. So a lot of these kinds of factors are going to come up that we're going to see in the later development of this halacha. You are right also to point out that if we have a sort of prevailing standard minhag, right, if a shul is closed on any given weekend, the assumption is we don't necessarily repeat the Kriyat HaTorah for that week. So it's possible that minhag should have weight in halacha, that we should say, if that's normal under those circumstances, we should also apply a similar rule to our circumstances. Now I'll make a related point a little bit later, but I want to finish seeing this Or Zeruah first. Then he wants to sort of reject a possible counter argument, right? The logic of reading every parsha and catching up missed parshiot is that there's a mitzvah to finish the Torah every year as a tzibur. So if you don't finish it on the weeks that it would be normally appropriate to do so, then you finish it whenever you can, and that means the next week, and you're supposed to catch up. Ve'ein lecha lomar, kevan sha'amar zman kriyata halchala ota parsha. You shouldn't say that once you miss the time for Kriyat HaTorah, it's gone, you miss the opportunity, the same way you might say by, let's say, Megillah, if you miss Megillah on Purim, as far as I know, there's no such notion of catching up the next Purim. But that doesn't apply here. Ki ein keva b'parshiot, likrot parsha zo b'shabbos zo, v'zo b'shabbos zo. There's no inherent notion, according to the Or Zeruah, that this week, it was meant to be Vayetze. Next week is meant to be Vayishlach. And if you miss Shabbos Vayishlach, then you miss Parsha Vayishlach. The Or Zeruah says, who says? There's a notion of reading the Torah every year, and it happens to be that we do this chunk on this week. But if we miss it this week, we'll do it in the next week. Ella kichen nisteru parshiot. This just happens to be the way we organize the parshiot, but there's no notion that there's an inherent connection. And the proof that he brings in this next section that we won't read is that when you have a yom tov, for example, that pushes off a week, then we'll just take that parsha from this week and move it on to the next week. It would have been, let's say, parshat miketz, but we push it off because of whatever other kriya we need to do this day. Okay. So we just do a double parsha the next week. So there's no inherent connection between the parshiot and the Shabbos on which they fall. Another counter-argument he wants to push back on, which is one that I certainly heard people raise in part of their earlier preliminary discussions on this issue. The ein lomar she'ein lekro mishum torach tzibur. You also should not say not to repeat a parsha because of tircha de tzibura, because of this idea that it will be overly burdensome on the congregation to read multiple parshiot on a given Shabbos. D'ha amrinan b'mesechet sofrim, she'afilu ba'avor pasuk echad chozer v'korei kol ha'parsha, kid appreciate le'el. Because we know that if you miss, you make a mistake in your Kriyat HaTorah, if you, you know, miss a pasuk at some point, you're supposed to go back and repeat the, you know, the whole Torah reading. You don't just, you don't say it's, we're not allowed to repeat a Torah reading because of a mistake that we make. All the more so will the Orzeru say for a whole parsha that we miss that we're going to have to repeat it. We're not concerned about, you know, burdening the tzibur. And, you know, the best reason not to be concerned about burdening the tzibur by reading two parshiot on the same week is that we do it most years. There are very few years when we never have a double parsha. Double parshas are pretty common. And I won't say that nobody complains about double parshiot being long, but on a halakhic level, I don't see that much weight to, oh, but we shouldn't have a double parsha because it would be too burdensome to the tzibur. Double parshiot are sort of the normal behavior for a tzibur to have. Excuse me. Okay. So this is the one of the, you know, earlier sources that raises this notion of catching up a missed parsha. There are a few things to note about this source that will cause, you know, consternation or complication in later applications. Number one is that this example, this case from the Orzarua is only talking about a case where you missed one parsha. So I don't know what happens if I have to catch up multiple parshiot. That's one potential issue that we might raise. Complication number two, this seems to have only happened in a single shul, right? This was one place in Colonia where one guy got up and interrupted davening. I don't know what would happen if it applied to the entire community or the entire country. That's going to be another complication. So we have to be careful from just, you know, jumping off one source and saying, well, this is the halacha. You always have to make up every kriya, because there might be reasons to make distinctions. And then we'll see those as they appear in the Achronim. But before that, just to see that the Orzarua is in fact codified, this is a passage from the Rama, sort of, you know, standard bearer of Ashkenazi minhag. And he paskins pretty much the same halacha as we saw in the Orzarua. Im bitlu Shabbos achas kriyas a parsha b'tzibur. If one Shabbos you miscreate a Torah for some reason, so you read two parshiot the next Shabbos. Fantastic. So if I just read this halacha and there had been no further development of this halacha, I might have been inclined to say that in the context of COVID, it should be relatively simple. Any parsha that we miss, we're supposed to catch up. But you'll see there's a little bit of sleight of hand on my part, right? Switching from two parshiot to any parsha that we miss. And we'll see other kinds of distinctions that appear later on in the sort of historical layer of the Achronim. Okay, I'll briefly take a sip, and if anyone has any questions. Okay, wonderful. So let's move now to the sort of next historical layer and some of the complications that are raised in the period of the Achronim to the application of the Salacha. The first and most thorough source that we'll see is the Mishnah Berurah, who raises a number of machlokot that appeared in the Achronim. As a rule, the Mishnah Berurah quotes, you know, many of the Achronim that preceded him, and we could rely on him to present, you know, some of the major factors that appeared then. So let's see how what factors he raises as complications. V'im hayushtei parshiot mechubarim ba'otau Shabbat Shabbat lu. If, let's say, you miss a week that's a double parsha, you miss, Vayaka Pekudei, for example, which, you know, in our situation may have been one of the early, you know, parsha that would have been missed, or Tezriya Metzora, or Bahar B'chukutai, any of the double parshiot. Da'at haram mince, de'ein mashlimin otam klal. If you miss a double parsha, you don't catch up. De'lo matzinu la'olam, shekorin gimel sidro b'shabbos achas. There's no situation, there are no circumstances under which you ever read a triple parsha. If two parshiot is an acceptable length, triple parshiot, far too long, according to the Maharam Mintz. And velikrot parsha achat mehan, nami lo amrinan, de'en takana lachatzayin. And you can't take a double parsha and split it in half, because you didn't miss one parsha, you missed two. And we don't let you do a takana, you know, this kind of tashlumin, in a half-hearted way. You're either going to do it or you're not. And you can't do it because we can't have a triple parsha. So you can't do it at all and you end up with a single parsha. And similarly, the reverse situation. If you miss the Shabbos before a double parsha, V'adin im b'shabbos zo hayushtei parshiot mechubarot. Nami ein mashlim en aparsha mishavar mishabbos shavar mitam hanal. So a troubled parsha doesn't exist. We can't create a troubled parsha, so we don't catch up missed weeks like that. By this logic, it seems that we also wouldn't catch up a quintuple parsha, or I don't know. Again, Moses Sefer Vayikra is what many tzibors miss. Certainly wouldn't make up such a loss. But this is a machloket. Uva hagat min hagim cholek al kolza. V'chein hiskim be'el yaraba. Dela olam tzarach l'hashlim masha bitlu mishabish avar. There are others who disagree, who say that you do have to catch up missed weeks of parshiot. V'chein no tadat sefer marking giborim. There's a number of achronim that Mishnah Berurah cites as making this point. So one, sub-dispute within this halacha is, do you apply it to more than one parsha or not? If you don't apply it to more than one parsha, then at most, in a situation of COVID, we'd want to catch up the parsha of the previous week that we missed, whenever shul reopened. Excuse me. Just appealing back a little bit to what we saw in the Or Zeruah, his original formulation, will be important, and we'll see this in one of the tshuvot that we'll look at in more detail. It seems that this question might depend a little bit on why we try to catch up missed parshiot at all. So, we'd raise two possible explanations for why one would catch up a missed parsha. Number one is this halacha of tashlumin, the sort of standard model that we have by tefillah that David raised, that if you miss a tefillah, you have to catch up, or you're allowed to catch up a single missed tefillah. If you miss mincha, you catch up the next mariv, if you miss mariv, the next shacharis, etc. So two, the logic goes, you would catch up one missed kriyat Torah. You wouldn't catch up, let's say, another two parshiot, or six parshiot, or 10 parshiot, or 12 parshiot, because that's not how the halacha of tashlumin works. However, based on the formulation that we saw in the Or Zeruah in this bolded section, that the idea of catching up a missed parsha is to ensure that you read the entire Torah every single year, then it seems that it shouldn't matter. It seems that you should have to catch up as many parshiot as you miss, no matter what the order is, no matter how many you have to catch up, because the goal is to end up having finished all of them by the end of the year. So it's possible that machloket about why we would catch up a missed tefillah would explain this, machloket said in the Mishnah about if it applies to more than one parsha or not. Okay, that's one sort of sub question that we might raise. A second sub-question that appears in the Mishnah Berurah that will also be relevant. V'yesh omrim, d'im bitlu parshat vayechi, ein lekroto im parshat shemot. If you miss vayechi, right, the end of Sefer Bereishit, you don't catch up with the beginning of Sefer Shemot. Ki kishakorin bet sidrot, tzarech lekroto chad gavra misof sidra rishona, letzchilat sidra shnia. Because he makes a general claim about double parshiot. When one does a double parsha, the Revi is always sort of the bridge between the two parshiot. You always have one person read from the end of the previous parsha to the beginning of the next parsha. And that's not a coincidence. There's a value in that. We want to have a sort of bridge between those two parshiot, kidei sheyu mechubarin, so that it really counts as a single double parsha and not two parshiot that you're reading in the wrong number of aliyahs. So you're not reading Vayechi in three aliyot and then Shemot in four aliyot. You're reading one joint parsha in seven aliyot. However, you can't do that in the example of Vayechi Shemot or any other parsha break. You shouldn't bridge from Sefer Bereishit to Sefer Shemot or Sefer Shemot to Sefer Vayikra in that way. V'yesh Holkim, of course, says the Mishnah Berurah. So again, we have a machloket about this halacha as well. Now, if we're going to take the position that we can't bridge from one parsha to the other, that the Mishnah Berurah raises, then we're mostly, I wouldn't say we're safe, but there's certainly some parshiot we wouldn't be able to catch up, right? If shuls were, let's say, closed for Vayakal Pekudei, and then we moved to Sefer Vayikra, so we wouldn't be able to bridge from Shemot into Vayikra. So at most, we would only read from the beginning of Vayikra. And if your shul didn't open until the beginning of the Midbar, then you're really safe because all of Sefer Vayikra is gone, and you're unable to bridge from Vayikra into Sefer B'Midbar. The third and final complication the Mishnah Berurah raises is what happens when it's not, when a shul misses tefillah, but the members of the shul don't, which is sort of a subtle distinction, but let's see how he formulates it. Katav b'Sefer Shari Ephraim, If one shul, let's say, is closed for some reason, damage to the shul, for example, the rova tibur mibet haKnesset ze shamu kriyat haTorah beit haKnesset acharet ein tzarach lahashlim. But everyone in the shul just went to another minyan, right? This shul is closed, so we'll go to another minyan, and most of the tibur had heard kriyat haTorah elsewhere. Then you don't have to catch up, miss tefillah, because the congregation in the shul isn't what matters. It seems like the congregation, sort of in the more abstract sense, is what matters. If that tzibur heard the kriya, then that seems to suffice, even if in the shul it didn't happen. However, im rov tzibur lo shamu klal, avo pish yesham bat ikhnasi yod achero chakaru, shama kadin. But if this tzibur, right, the people who normally daven at, you know, your minyan, didn't hear Kriyat HaTorah, even if there are other shuls in the community who did read Kriyat HaTorah, but if your tzibur didn't, then mikol makom otan shelo shamu hakriya v'hem rov tzibur shel beit haKnesset zeh tzrichen lahashlim hakriya. That there's some notion of it. The members of this shul, this tzibur who davens together, have the same set of halachot, and if they miss Kriyat HaTorah, even if they could go to other shuls and could daven with other minyanim and could hear Kriyat HaTorah, if they didn't, then their tzibur is still obligated, even if other tziburim are not. I always thought this was a sort of cool halacha, just in as much as it recognizes this notion that those who daven and shul together constitute their own community that isn't geographically constrained. Meaning, let's say there are multiple shuls in Fairlawn, but the members of Avad Achim are a unit. And if they miss Kriyat HaTorah one week, and they don't hear it elsewhere, then they're obligated, even if the Fairlawn community sort of writ large has heard Kriyat HaTorah. I thought it was an interesting halacha that like emphasizes this notion of a shul or a shul community, which I found very cool. Now, this halacha isn't going to help us so much, in as much as when most shuls were closed for COVID, most shuls were closed. It wasn't like people left their one shul and went to hear Kriyat HaTorah elsewhere. I would imagine that Rov HaTzibur, a majority of the community, had not done so. But it is worth noting that the Mishnah Berurah raises this as a potential complication in the halachot. There are a few other factors that I'll sort of try to summarize outside without spending too much time inside, so we can see a few of the contemporary presentations of these issues. So one other factor that is raised in the Shari Ephraim is the reason that you missed the Kriya. Okay, if you miss the Kriya, according to the Shari Ephraim, because of some onus, let's say bad weather, for example, to go back to our example from earlier, right? There's a blizzard in the community, so, you know, that interrupts people's ability to, that stops us from reading Kriyat HaTorah. Actually, I don't want to say that, because I'm not sure if I'm reading the Shari Ephraim correctly, so I'll set back this example, I'll look at it inside. He distinguishes between a case where you miss it be'ones. It doesn't say exactly what the reason is, but some kind of duress prevents you from reading the Torah. Let's say, I don't know, you don't have a sefer Torah. That would be the most unambiguous example, so we'll use that for now. If you don't have a sefer Torah, you find a psul on the sefer Torah, you can't do Kriyat HaTorah this week. Then you would have to catch up. However, if you just didn't have a minyan one week, then you do not have to catch up the missed Kriyat HaTorah. So that might be the blizzard example. So that's why I wanted to be careful about that. If you had a shul where there was no minyan one given week because of bad weather or just because it's a small shul in a small community where you don't always get a minyan, then you do not have to catch up your missed Kriyat HaTorah under those circumstances. Seems that the notion the Shari Ephraim is getting at is that the Kriyat HaTorah as an obligation sort of, you know, is incumbent upon a community as they come together as a community for davening. And then, oh, they're going to be obligated in reading the Torah. If there's never a community of 10 men to, you know, do Kriyat HaTorah together, then the obligation to read this Parsha never falls on the community, and they'll be exempt from having to repeat it. That's probably what's happening there conceptually. So in our circumstance, we might say, look, COVID prevented our tziburim from coming together. It's not that there was some external situation that prevented our reading the Torah. It's that we didn't have minyanim at all. So it's possible that the obligation of Kriyat HaTorah didn't apply under these circumstances. And the final complication we'll see, and then we'll pause to sort of organize ourselves before we look at the contemporary presentations, is from this passage in the Shavuos Yaakov. He was asked a similar question, right? Imagine a shul where, you know, the minyan is inconsistent at best, where sometimes they daven, sometimes they don't. Maybe it's a small community, maybe it's a traveling community where there are only people at certain times of the year. So do they have to catch up Kriyat Torah that they missed? And he suggests that it only applies when you miss an individual week and you have to, you know, catch up. However, if you're just fundamentally an inconsistent minyan, then you should not catch up missed Kriyat Torah. And he raises a very interesting reason, because he wants to maintain the Seder HaMeyuchad Lahem Alpi Takanot Chazal. He actually values a lot more, apparently, than the Or Zeruah, this notion that we're supposed to read the Parshiot in order, at a specific pace, at a specific schedule. And if you're consistently inconsistent, you know, 3 weeks you're doing nothing, and the fourth week you're reading four Parshiot in a row, and the next week you're doing nothing, and the next week you're reading another two Parshiot, and so on, then we lose the whole notion of having Parsha Rashavua, this idea that we read a certain Parsha on any given week. So once in a while, you could switch, you could double up if you miss. But if you're consistently inconsistent, then you've totally lost the idea of Kriyat Torah in general. And that's too much of a cost for this position. Our circumstance also would, you know, pretty clearly seem to fall under that situation where davening would be consistently inconsistent, right? We were closed for a long period of time. We're open. It's possible that we'll close again. We don't know how long shuls would have been closed for. If you ask me, you know, in the beginning of April, how long are we going to be closed? I wouldn't have known the answer, and I don't know if others would have either. And so that idea of being sort of like fundamentally inconsistent would probably apply to our situation also. So if I wanted to create a very strong argument against the simple application of the halacha of repeating missed Kriyat Torah, I could do so on, you know, several grounds. I could say that it only applies to reading a single parsha. I could say that it only applies when there was a community that was davening together that didn't read the Torah for some reason. I could say that it only applies when we are in individual circumstances, but not when we're consistently inconsistent like we are during COVID. I could raise many sort of justifications for why we should not have to repeat missed Kriyat Torah against what we might consider the simple application of the halacha as we saw it in the Shulchan Aruch. So this is the sort of next level background that we see. You know, the initial layer that we had seen was sort of basis for the halacha, the idea of catching up missed Kriyat Torah. The second level that we just looked at now is all of the complications, all of the justifications or limitations on this halacha that really push us against catching up large swaths of the Torah that we've missed. So we're going to see now, based on this precedent, how a few of the contemporary poskim present their halachot. This is the first time I think we've seen like a proper machloket between the different poskim about, or yeah, I might say so, a sort of proper machloket about what to do practically. So we'll take a look at that in a second. But first, any questions or observations? Okay, great. So who should we start with? I think we'll start with Rav Asher Weiss, and we'll move to the other poskim as well. So they're all being asked basically the same question, so we don't need to summarize the question for everybody. Right? What happens now that we've returned to shul? At what parshiot do we have to catch up, and how do we do so if we have to? So Rav Asher Weiss, you know, raises the question, and he says, Leniodaiti, he starts immediately by telling you the answer to the question. Yish lahakel, we should be mekel, shall lo likro klal at a parshiot shehifsidu. We should not read any of the parshiot that we missed at all, and we should just read likro parshiot tazriya mitzora belvad, because at the time that they had resumed davening in this shul, at least, that was the parshiot they were up to. So he immediately opens the tshuva and tells you it's going to be mutter. And he, you know, starts by citing the halacha from the Raman and the Or Zeruah. You do miss, you catch up miss parshiot. And then he brings several reasons why we should be mekel nonetheless. Many of these are reasons that we had seen before. So he raises this notion, for example, that if we miss multiple parshiot, then we don't catch up. Im dilgu shabbat shesh was shtei parshiot. That was the idea we had seen in the Mishnah Brura, that we don't do a triple parsha or more than that. We maximize it at a double parsha. he also raises this notion of that we saw from the Shari Ephraim. If you miss a, if the tzibur themselves didn't come together to daven, then the obligation of Kriyat Torah didn't apply to them, and so there's no need to catch up a missed tefillah. He cites the explanation of the Shvus Yaakov that we had seen. We want to maintain the order of the tefillot so we don't catch up large swathes of Kriyat Torah if we're consistently inconsistent. And here he uses this nice formulation that I want to look at. V'yish ladun lefi dvar of benidon didan, shema geifa zu kfar mishtolelet shvuot rabim. The magefa, the corona, has been going on for several weeks. And we don't know how long it will be. So we're already in this limbo status. And when it started, we were allowed to daven bitzibor. This was, you know, the very first first couple of weeks. And then it was prohibited. We were no longer allowed to. And now we're allowed to again. And then we may have to go into lockdowns again, which happens. And so if we're consistently inconsistent, we don't have any ground to stand on to catch up, according to this Shvus Yaakov. Excuse me. And we had seen this last argument from the Shari Ephraim. If everyone heard Kriyat Torah and other tziburim, then perhaps we should be mekel. And then he makes a very interesting claim here as well to apply to our circumstance. I thought that this argument that says that if you, if most of the tzibur had heard it elsewhere, they wouldn't need to catch up and make it up in this context, wouldn't apply to COVID. Rav Asher actually does apply it. Uvitkufatenu mitzad echa nizkeru batei knesiyot. Lots of shuls have closed. However, ach rabim mitpalalim b'tzibur v'korim b'torah b'minanei hamirprasot v'chaserot. There were apparently many porch minanim, balcony minanim, outdoor minanim that were happening in Israel. And so he thinks it's possible that most members of a shul have actually davened b'tzibur, just not in shul, which doesn't strike me as something that was, you know, happening so much in America. Possible I'm mistaken, that really most members of most shuls were davening, you know, together, just not in the normal shul context. But Rav Asher seems to feel confident enough to apply it in this context. So then he ends off and he wraps up with, okay, so what's the harm? You know, ve'ein lo omar v'chim ba hefzed yesh im nikra od parsha b'torah. What's the problem with reading extra parsha, right? Even if we'll agree that you're not obligated to do so based on all the reasons that we had seen in the Acharonim, perhaps you should still feel, you know, why not? What's the harm? And he raises well the doctrine, pretty serious harm, right? Dim lefi ha'alacha v'aminek ein sarach tashlumin. Parsha yesh b'zet tzad hefzed. There is a loss. Number one, the loss is, sheshloshet ha'olim harishonim yivrechu al kriya shelo bezmana uvim koma. If you read a double parsha when you're not supposed to, right? So you have three aliyot from the first parsha, then the bridge aliyah, then three aliyot from the second parsha. Well, the first three are going to be reading a Kriyat Torah that's not appropriate. You shouldn't just get up on a Shabbos morning and read Kriyat Torah from, you know, Parsha Vezora Bracha right now. That would be inappropriate. That would be possibly Bracha Levatala, he raises. And that would be the loss. And so he rounds out and he says, okay, everyone should make sure to catch up on their own. You should do Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum. You should review the Parsha with Unklos or with Rashi, however one does their Shnayim Mikra in reviewing the Parsha on their own. And you shouldn't do a group reading. So this is the position of Rav Asher Weiss. And he's sort of unequivocal that there's no reason to, there's no need to, it would be wrong to, don't catch up Miss Parshiot under these circumstances. Sort of just to find the I don't want to call it the opposite extreme because I don't think it's an extreme position. If you look at Rav Shechter's presentation, besides the stylistic differences, we'll also see his sort of, you know, practical differences. So starting stylistically, you know, Katuv b'Sefer Shari Ephraim, he immediately jumps to, you know, one of the later sources in this halacha, right? Unlike Rav Asher Weiss, who started from the beginning, he quotes the Rama, he quotes the earlier layer. Rav Shechter just jumps right in with the positions of the Acharonim. So, you know, if you miss Kriyat Torah one Shabbos, you're supposed to catch up on a future Shabbos, on another Shabbos. But if you miss many weeks in a row, you're only supposed to catch up the single immediately prior week. But, you know, furthermore, his distinction about whether there was a minyan that failed to do Kriyat Torah or whether there was no minyan at all is another distinction that was raised. And then we'll see how he sort of brings the practical ruling. Apparently the Gra was machmir to catch up Miss Kriyat HaTorah under these circumstances. And the Chazon Ish was another, you know, major posik, who also was machmir. Apparently in yeshivas, people who are, you know, the assumption is people who maybe have more time on their hands or are more willing to take on chumras, whatever it is that makes a yeshiva special. Apparently people in yeshivas should be machmir and should catch up extra kriyot. Lashlim kol aparshiot b'shabbos harishon al achar tom ha-magefa, to catch up all the parshiot on a single Shabbos. But achen me'ikar hadin yesh bakom lahakel kamagen aram. But if you, you know, me'ikar hadin, the baseline halacha that you could be makel. And then he says, u'bishar bate knesiot b'vada yesh lahem al ma shiyismuchu. And regular shuls that are not in yeshivot totally have, you know, on whom to rely if you want to not read, you know, an entire sefer Vayikra when you catch up in shul whenever you reopen. Given this, and I'm also sure the English, just because he organizes the halacha here a little bit more clearly. Okay, so how are we going to do it? Based on what we had seen from the Or Zeruah, it sounded like what you first do is read what you missed until the current parsha, and then bridge to the current parsha, you know, over a V, and read normally. Rav Shachter actually does not present it this way. He suggests that practically what one should do, after finishing the seven aliyos of that week's laning, a second Torah should be used to read all of the missed laning in one session. So as opposed to, you know, bridging it from the beginning, which is, you know, potentially controversial for the reasons that we mentioned, you might not be appropriate to do so. It's a little bit less controversial to add a hosafa to your Torah reading, to, you know, do your seven aliyot, and then, you know, for maftir, just have whatever aliyah you would want or whatever Torah reading you want to do at that point. It's a little bit less controversial. He raises the notion elsewhere in this tshuva about a bar mitzvah boy maybe doing that if he missed his parsha because of COVID, to sort of append his parsha to the end of a week's Torah reading. So first we'll read Amor, and then we'll read, you know, parsha tzav or something for the bar mitzvah boy during his the hosafa at the end of Dav. In fact, I'll mention just in the Gluck Beit Midrash at YU, what they applied this halacha. I think they divided it over 2 weeks instead of one. And they basically had, you know, they read the seven, you know, aliyot for a normal Torah reading, and then they had various people each take a whole parsha and lean the entire thing across, you know, over the course of two Shabbases. So, you know, around half of the missed parshiot 1 week and half of the missed parshiot another week. So in the yeshiva, or at least in the reflector's yeshiva, that was the halacha that was brought down.
Did someone get an aliyah and make a bracha?
So right, the way that they did that was they had one person make the bracha on maftir, but instead of reading maftir, they would read this long string of missed parshiot. So it was just one extra aliyah. Whereas I mentioned before that in the earlier, you know, it seemed from the Or Zeruah that the way you would do it was sort of just string them together as a long double parsha. That wasn't how Rav Shechter chose to implement it in his Sibur. Just look at how Rav Rimon brings it down. He, you know, introduces his tshuva the same way that Rav Asher Weiss does, but he thinks it's preferable to catch up if you can. You know, you could be mekel. Most shuls can be mekel. Aval tov im yesh minyan shel anashim shemuchanim lishmoa et kol haparashot bishvil hatzibor. If you could have at least 10 people who are like willing to, you know, take the burden for the community, the assumption being, which is sort of implicit and worthy of its own analysis at another point, the assumption being that the obligation is an obligation on the community. So it's not that every individual has to hear Kriyat Torah, it's that the community needs to have the Torah read to its Zibor. So if you have 10 people who are willing to be that Zibor, that would suffice for the community. So I think it's better to have a minion volunteer to do that. Sherei pashut harishonim she'at Zibor tzarech likra would call the Torah b'meshach hashana, because he's persuaded by the reading of the Or Zeruah that said that the goal is to read the entire Torah every year. So have the tzibur volunteer to read the Torah every single year. Okay. And the way he suggests to do it is not the way Rav Shechter suggested it, but rather, Hayaratsui Shahakore Yikrat call a parshot la liat rishon ad shlosha psukim beparsha anochachit. Oh, as sof rishon to beparsha anochachit. Meaning, let's say, you know, the shul stopped from Vayikra and they reopened again for Emor. So one person should read from Vayikra until the end of Rishon for Emor. And that would all be an extended Rishon. And then Sheni, Shlishi, Revi, etc. would all just be normal. He says that, you know, that might be too difficult. So it's possible that you could, you know, divide up the long, you know, I don't know, seven parsha section into smaller, you know, chunks. But that's the way he recommends it, which is a little bit different from Rav Shechter. I'll stop sharing now because we're already a little bit over time. But just to briefly recap, what we had seen was sort of three stages in this halacha. We saw the first stage in the Orz Aruah and the Ramah, the baseline halacha that if you miss a week, you're supposed to catch up that the next week. Then we had seen a number of complications or limitations in the Achronim that might explain why you would need to do so for a long stretch of Parshiot in the era of COVID, or potentially even for a single Parsha, meaning if the reason that you didn't read Kriyat HaTorah was because there was no minyan, which was true in for most circumstances during the quarantines, then you might not need to catch up even a single Miss Parsha. And then we close by looking at the contemporary presentations of Rav Rimon, Rav Shechter, and Rav Asher Weiss, and saw the sort of spectrum of positions there, between, you know, totally relying on these, you know, leniencies to, at the very least, a leaning, if not like a recommendation, that maybe one really ought to, if one can, try to catch up these misreadings. I'm now going to stop the